Years ago, Google's big priority was Google+, and news reports stated that Google execs and management were incentivizing staff to integrate Google+ into all their products as quickly as possible. Well, their bread-and-butter service, Search Everywhere and Everything, is finally coming to Stadia 1 year and 6 months after its release. I guess it wasn't as important because there's no ads in the Stadia interface. That's Mike Vetch for this week. Join your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki for more on this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back and live once again tonight, May the 2nd of 2021, with episode number 867 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined every week, socially distant still, with Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I am, I'm okay.
Good. You were working hard last week, so you did a stream after, so live, because of course we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, VOG Network on Twitch, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And a lot of weeks we kind of pass the reins to other people. You know, Alan's done a stream after the show. Some of our friends, you know, we've raided after the show. But you actually did a live stream last week. You were playing Dead by Daylight, which we've talked at length, gross, disgusting, filthy length on this show about, but you were actually showing that off, and I gotta say I was surprised. I remember we were talking before last week's show, and you were like, oh, I'll probably just go for like an hour and then, you know, send it to somebody else. Okay, I'm getting into bed at like midnight and I have a Chromecast in the bedroom now, so I watch Twitch a lot on the TV. Alan and I watch. You were still going at like 12:15 last Sunday, and I'm like, she's gonna regret this. But you had
a good
stream.
Spiteful.
But you had a good stream, right?
I did. And plus, something else happened not too long after that, and I really am so proud of this. I have to tell the story. I've told you already.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried Nurse for the first time sometime after that, a couple days after that. And I wasn't on stream or anything. This was just me playing. I decided just to try Nurse because there was some Nurse achievements to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I made it all the way through my first game. No add-ons, no nothing except for what's her main thing? I didn't use Strider. I used Nurse's Calling,
the healing one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going through it, and everyone, of course, is running over me because Nurse is fucking hard to learn.
She
is. And right, and everyone was just being such a piece of shit about it. They were being little assholes. So I wait. I chased after them because I'm just like, just get out. And I was, you know, going to hit them until they left. And this one Yui stayed around and like tried to run circles around me. So I managed to hit her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like positioned herself to where if I hit her again, she'd fall through the gate. So I was like, okay, I'll go ahead and hit you. Except she didn't fall through the exit gate. Guess what I did? I hooked her.
Good job.
Right in front of the exit. And I sat there watching her die. And it was beautiful.
You know, it is interesting, you know, and I know we've talked a lot about Dead by Daylight, but it is interesting how that game, you know, we both enjoy it for, you know, different reasons and enjoy kind of getting in there and playing it. But a lot of times the people in it can really be toxic, which is weird because it's a game that reaches such a diverse audience and that really, you know, strikes a chord with, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, the LGBTQIA+ community. And it's really, you know, I was just playing for fun a few days ago, and I was playing as Pyramid Head, and I got a 4K. And mm-hmm. As soon as it's done, the chat lights up going, boy, Pyramid Head is sexy, but not you. You could have been so much better. You could have done. And it's like, I got a 4K. And it's like, they're just sitting there talking trash. Now, my instinct, when I see that happen, I actually sit there with the chat open so they can know I'm still logged in and I can see it, but I choose not to respond. And I just block them. If you want to talk shit, I just block. Like, I don't need that. But what is it? So why do people feel the need to be toxic is the real question. And this is a question much bigger than Dead by Daylight. But
because
why
they
do
can and they're
to
anonymous.
Toxic?
Except they're not super anonymous because a lot of times you can find who's streaming.
Yeah.
And you can find who's streaming. And you can often find a little bit of dirt here and there.
Yeah. Well, that's why I won't put TTV in my name. on that game. I don't, because I've watched it happen too many times on some of the streams I watch, is that, you know, people will have TTV in their name so that they know it's a Twitch streamer. And then what'll happen after the match, people come into the Twitch chat and start talking shit. And it's like, that would annoy me.
But I've had people come in on those streams. Like, I even saw it happen on LC's stream the other day, Losing Color, where someone came in and was like, hi, I was so-and-so in your match, and I thought you did a really great job, you know, even though I died. So I've seen a lot of that happen. And I want to make it a point that if I do see someone, now, of course, I'm struggling right now. I've played 7 times, right? And I will still sometimes, if I find that it's a streamer, I'll find their chat and say, hey, I'm new. Thanks for being cool.
Yeah, and Alan's had a few positive interactions like that too. Like he made a swiffing party out of people. So you're right. There for every bad apple, there are some good apples, and I think we tend to let the bad apples ruin it for everybody else. So you're right. We got to kind of put that in perspective a little bit. But I still won't put TTV in my name when I play. Like I just
Well, I can't right now since I'm on Stadia. And I hate, I might have to pay for Parallels. I got another virtualizer, and when I had Windows installed on it and everything, it just ended up crash. It wasn't any good. Yeah. But I only paid $10 for it. But anyway, I have been, I actually started paying for Stadia Pro today, which I guess I could do with my gaming week. But it's just, I don't know. It's been an interesting experience. When someone's going to be toxic, I just leave chat immediately. I don't even give them a voice.
Yeah.
And it's made me happy.
I think that's the best policy. Just don't respond. Don't give into it. Like, they want a reaction. It's, yeah.
And when I find someone playing solid, I will give them positive feedback.
Yeah.
You know, I will give the credit where the credit is due. And yeah. I've only ever once called somebody else for being, you know, pretty much a child about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I did gloat at the Yui.
All right.
She deserved it.
Some comments from chat, and I haven't forgot about Loki. I'll get to Loki too, but some comments from chat. SG100 Matt says, trolls are going to troll. Tiger Claw says, some people take gaming way too seriously. Some gamers just have no tolerance for people who goof off in a multiplayer game. You could turn the voice chat off entirely. There is no voice chat in Dead by Daylight. You know, that's why our Discord is huge when you're going to play with friends. But it's all in the little text box, which is interesting because if you play on Xbox One or PlayStation, you don't get, it's interesting, only the PC-based people, so Stadia, Windows Store, Steam, only see the chat box. If you're on consoles, yeah. You don't see it. Switch, you don't see it. So that's interesting too. But anyway, let me say hello, of course. I have to introduce, of course, here with us every week, Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki.
Hey.
Why is everybody so toxic, Loki?
Because it's the internet, and that's where the toxicity goes.
That's true. That is true. You have a nice, family-friendly, pure, kind-hearted game playing behind you tonight. I noticed Pokemon Snap is going on behind you tonight.
Yes, the game that my kids said they don't like.
What?
What?
What happened?
What is wrong with your children?
I bought them because it's probably too boring for them. They're like, it's not like a normal Pokemon game. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's not supposed to be, but
it's like a good Pokemon game.
So I bought it for $60 and then no one's playing it. So it's cool.
Hey, let me borrow it.
I can't. It's digital.
Crap.
I have a physical version, Jamie, but I'm actually playing it. So you're going to have to wait a while to borrow it.
I'll eventually.
Plus, I have a ring I want back. before you get that.
Well, I threw out my back before I could use it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
And I've got the okay to start using it again. But if you want it back, I'll bring it back.
I don't need it back tomorrow, but by the time I'm ready
But tomorrow's my day off.
by the time I'm ready to let go of Pokemon Snap for a little bit, I think that'll be good. So,
All right.
Anyway. Let's get into tonight's show. Now that we've already talked about several games here at the top of the show, let's talk about our kickoff topic tonight. We have a couple of Twitch stories here to start us off tonight, Twitch-based things. And I thought these were both like so it's very meta. We're going to talk about Twitch on Twitch. But, you know, we always say we're talking about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. And definitely Twitch plays into the last two of those things, gaming culture and gamer lifestyle. Heck, there's some culture and lifestyle that has nothing to do with gaming that we see a lot of on Twitch. But I'm not going to talk about hot tubs tonight. I'm going to talk about the gaming side of things and the political side of things and the getting people motivated to participate in charity and political action side of things. The first story about Twitch tonight has to do with the Anti-Defamation League, or the ADL. And they did a big report basically about Twitch and some of the different streams that have happened recently, and kind of come to the conclusion that Twitch needs to invest in more moderation tools. I mean, water is wet. The Pope is Catholic, bear shit in woods, right? Like, I think we all kind of know this. But what I think is interesting about this is that, you know, because the ADL kind of did this study, there's some facts that really go into this and some analysis that go into this. They did a report called Politics, Gaming Culture, and Content Moderation on Twitch. And they actually analyzed several high-profile streams. What did they look at? They looked at four political events. October 21st, 2020, that was the day that AOC and Ilhan Omar played Among Us. That was huge, right? We talked about it on this show. That was a huge stream. 225,000 plus comments on that stream.
Damn.
They did another stream in November. AOC, excuse me, did another stream in November of 2020 with a Canadian member of parliament, Yagmeet Singh, and some other popular streamers. There was a COVID-19 relief effort for that one. So that was analyzed. December 22nd, when Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, who were running for Senate in Georgia, spoiler alert, they won. Well, I mean, you should know that now by now, because this was 4 months after December, right? They played Uno with streamers around Twitch to get out the vote. And then in January of 2021, AOC was back again with Reddit co-founder, and they were talking about the GameStop stonk phenomenon. So anyway, all these streams were analyzed, but also looked at Jimmy Fallon did a Twitch appearance on April 6th playing Among Us with members of The Roots, and that stream got 74,000 plus comments. But what's the difference? Okay, why am I bringing up all these streams? It turns out the political streams had a lot less problems with content than the Jimmy Fallon stream. The Jimmy Fallon stream was spammed with something called the try hard emote. I don't know this, and I don't want to know it, because apparently it's used to harass black streamers. So I admit I am ignorant as to what it is, and I don't need it explained. If that's what it's for, then I don't need to know about it. But that's just what's in this report here. Apparently that emote was used in over 2,500 comments on Jimmy Fallon's stream. 4% of all chat activity had that negative emote. However, the most popular comments in AOC's January 2021 stream were to the moon and hold the line, which are relatively non-offensive things, or I would say non-offensive at all, these are the things they say on Wall Street Bets about Dogecoin and all that stuff, right? And holding on to your GameStop stock.
Now they don't talk about Doge on Wall Street Bets.
Sorry.
Don't offend anyone.
Okay, but they do use that saying with Doge, right? Didn't Elon Musk or whatever tweet that Doge to the moon or something? Like, I'm not completely off base.
Everything.
Okay. But anyway, so what's the difference here? Why was Jimmy Fallon's stream attacked with all this, you know, racist garbage, and AOC's stream was relatively, you know, I'm sure it was there with that many people, but it wasn't nearly, you know, we had these other more positive meme things that were floating to the top. Well, in this study, they actually analyzed and showed that Fallon had three moderators for the stream. And they all seem to be new to Twitch, because they were called TSGAF Mod 1, 2, and 3. They were accounts that looked like they were made for this stream. For AOC's October 2020 stream, 14 bots and human moderators, including a handful of Twitch employees. These moderators kept the discussion on track. What a shock. Am I right? more moderators, and especially I think the seasoned part of it ended up having a better discussion. So what all happened at the end of the day here? So the report recommends that politicians collaborate with experienced moderators and inform themselves about the Twitch community before going live. There are also suggestions for Twitch itself. Number one, enforce the newly revised hate and harassment policy consistently and for all streamers, regardless of their popularity. Increase its investment in moderation tools as the platform grows. Require trained moderators for streams featuring prominent public figures. That's interesting. And provide effective tools, support, and justice for marginalized streamers, including specific ways to escalate reports of harassment to the platform and access to experienced community moderators. Now, this whole study was done before new chat tools rolled out on Twitch with threaded replies and all that on April 22nd. However, they're saying this doesn't change the bottom line about what was found about Twitch communities. So what do you guys kind of, I know that was a lot, I just threw at you to process, but what do you guys kind of think about the whole, like, maybe Twitch needs to invest in more moderation, even though some people, when they hear that, think, my free speech.
I mean, yeah, I think they should invest in more moderation.
Mm-hmm. Free speech. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Free speech doesn't count on a hosted environment. There are, when you use a service, you agree to play by their rules. So, end of story.
Mm-hmm. Loki, do you want to finish your thought?
No, I was just saying, I think that more tools could be helpful. I mean, there's a lot of things that Twitch needs to do to improve their platform, and I think additional moderation tools would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed some comments in chat. You know, Bobby Blackwolf has talked a lot about Games Done Quick and some of the things he's kind of learned about the event, having participated as a volunteer, and mentions that there's actually applications for chat moderators during the volunteer application. And yeah, SJ100Matt is saying, I'm sure GDQ has a ton of mods now. And yeah, that's not entirely surprising to me either, that an event that large would unfortunately be the target of trolls, even though it's supposed to be, you know, money for charity. That doesn't matter to some people, right? And Tiger Class says they have to moderate the chat so it stays on topic about the event. SJ100Matt says, folks complaining about freedoms being taken away don't know what it's like to truly have their freedoms taken away. Preach. Preach. Questbuster says some streams also set their chat to sub mode to cut back on spam from undesirable comments, which I believe GDQ does. They're either sub only or follower only. They're one of the two. I'm sure I'll be corrected in a moment here in chat, but I know they do that to try to cut back on some of that as well. You know, and I'm not trying to make this about VOG Network. We have an awesome mod team for the size that we are. You know, obviously we're not AOC, we're not Jimmy Fallon, you know, we're not getting that type of stuff yet. But if we did, we would certainly try to up what we're doing on our moderation side of things to stay afloat of that. But I just, you know, realistically, that's not happening anytime soon. That's for sure. And Bobby Blackwell says during AGDQ and SGDQ, it is sub only. Okay, that's what I thought. So anyway, there is somewhat of a side story to this, and this isn't even the second story I really want to talk about, but I think this is important when we talked about, because one of the things that was in that report was it was about the marginalized streamers. Yes, provide effective tools, support, and justice for marginalized streamers. This leads to another conversation about how Twitch has really been requested to add certain tags that, for whatever reason, they've been resistant to doing. We know we have an LGBTQIA tag on Twitch, but one of those letters in particular, the T, or the trans community, has really been requesting their own tag for quite some time. And for whatever reason, Twitch has been resisting the calls to this. My assumption, I'm left to assume in this situation, is that they are worried that if trolls can easily find trans streamers, that they're going to get targeted for harassment. In my opinion, that speaks as a very big negative to Twitch as a platform and how they're failing on moderation. If they can't effectively add a tag and because they're worried that, you know, folks are going to get harassed, then Twitch kind of needs to do something about that, I think. And this report that I just talked about, I think, is also kind of saying that. Well, because Twitch has been failing to do this for such a long time, and that's not, I've seen requests for a black tag on Twitch. I've seen requests for several other marginalized communities on Twitch. Because Twitch has been failing to do this, leave it to the internet, someone else is coming up and doing it instead. A site that has been gaining more and more visibility these past few weeks is called peer2peer.live. That's peer, P-E-E-R, the number two, peer.live. It is a hub that allows a Twitch streamer to create identity-based tags for their own stream, such as trans, disabled, black. Those are some examples of the many tags there. Steph Lower, I hope I said the name right, is the founder of Peer2Peer, who identifies a trans woman who streams under the name Ferociously Steph. Okay, so, in a comment to the blog in Gadget, Steph said, "The essence is that people of marginalized identities feel safest in spaces that understand them, and the easiest way to find those safe spaces is by finding their peers. And that discoverability has been totally blocked by Twitch." And what's interesting about this is that she's also on Twitch's Safety Advisory Council. She has a direct line of communication with the company, but for whatever reason, Twitch doesn't seem to be doing enough. She also says in a comment, "Twitch has not done enough to protect me in the slightest." So it is interesting that the community is starting to build these tools, which Twitch is failing to do. So Twitch, and if Twitch is afraid of these marginalized communities being harassed, these tools are coming anyway. So Twitch needs to deal with this, right? So
definitely.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, especially as sites like Peer2Peer Live get bigger and bigger. I think it is fascinating that she kind of has that in with Twitch, and it's still kind of not working. It's very, very interesting to me.
You would think if anyone could get it, it would be someone that's on the safety council, you would think. That done. But
you would think, or at least would like know the reasons why Twitch is resisting this whole thing. And I'm left to assume Twitch is worried about, they're going to get targeted. Well, the community is really, demanding this so that people can kind of find their tribe, right? And find the streamers that are of interest to them, or streamers that they can relate to and so forth. So I just think Twitch needs to prepare for this and not continue to table the issue. I want to say that petition on Twitch's site to add a trans tag, I could be wrong. I want to say it's been going for a year. Like it's been out there for a long time.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I have signed the petition myself. I hope others will consider doing that as well. Now, I want to talk about something I kind of brought up in that little topic or that little story there was I talked about using Twitch to find your tribe. So this takes me to another story that has just been talked about in the past couple of days. And this was something that kind of caught fire on Twitter, and this is where I saw it, where Bill Maher, of course, opened his mouth and had some things to say about Twitch streams. And gosh darn, the story I linked here is the wrong one. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Scroll down.
Thanks, Logan.
Yeah. Who cares?
I know. And, well,
Bill Maher doesn't think I'm cool. What's my life even worth anymore?
I'm going to explain why. Let's get the story here first, though. Huh?
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah. Could you? Because mine's not coming up.
Sure.
Sorry. Live radio fail. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so Bill Maher basically was kind of commenting on, what Twitch viewers, what he thinks of Twitch viewers, basically. So I don't know. It's on his Real Time with Bill Maher show, and he was saying, let's see, that I'm sorry, this like it scrolled everything way down the page here. So basically discussing technological literacy, he was comparing 80-year-olds who can't use phones to younger people who won't get off of theirs. And then talking about, I guess he made a comment about Twitch saying that, "I just think people watching other people playing video games is a waste of fucking time."
Yes, okay. That was the key thing he said.
Cool.
He said, yeah, he said, I just think people watching other people playing video games is a fucking waste of time. Now, look, we could sit here and rattle on for an hour about how Bill Maher is old and out of touch with a comment like that. And look, there's that popular school of thought that a comment like that is only made to get that type of attention. And that is exactly what he's getting on Twitch right now, as everybody, and I've been guilty of this too, is quote replying the clip of him from his TV show and dunking on him. With the replies and so forth. Here's the thing, though. Obviously, there are people like that, and I don't want to have a discussion about what an idiot Bill Maher is. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's have a discussion about the comment itself and how there are a lot of people out there, because it wasn't just that Bill Maher said it; it was that the audience in the studio started applauding and all this other stuff, right? So there is folks, and maybe because Bill Maher is of a certain age, in the 60s or 70s or whatever. I don't even know how old he is. Is he in his late 60s probably?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Who cares? He's I think it might speak to sort of like maybe a certain generation that doesn't quite get what Twitch like really is about. But the reality is, while I'm looking at a story like this about him dunking on Twitch and I don't understand what's exciting about watching other people fucking play video games, I'm looking at another story over here that's talking about the Oscars last week being the lowest rated Oscars ever. Okay, it's the lowest, and they didn't do it in the same time frame they usually do. The movies, you know, people haven't been going to movies for the past year, so it's been a weird year. The pandemic kind of changed the Oscars, all of that stuff, right, played into it. But the story that I was reading over there was that there's things go. Twitch had more people watching it than were watching the Oscars. And that's the very real nature of this world that we live in now, is that this homemade content is starting to give a lot of this produced content a run for its money. So I would say there's certainly a part of Bill Maher that feels threatened by what's happening on Twitch and the fact that there's more people watching people on Twitch than his show.
Right. And he should feel threatened because the gaming industry is way bigger than the television industry anyways. And I mean, honestly, his show's probably pretty niche. So it's just, you know, that's fine. Make your comment and get some exposure, because, you know, really it comes down to like, oh yeah, I forgot Bill Maher was even a person that existed and had a show. So now I remember that. So I don't know. I mean, I guess no press coverage is, you know, better than any press coverage is better than no press coverage. So I don't really care.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, oh God, there was an amazing tweet that showed the ratings for the Oscars versus the Game Awards. And the picture was the dude saying, fuck the Oscars, or F the Oscars. One small problem with that tweet, because I saw it too, it considered the Oscars day after ratings in the US versus the Game Awards globally. So there was a little bit of apples to oranges going on there. However, I don't want to what aboutism the whole thing, because I think it still does make a point that the Game Awards are growing, the Oscars are shrinking. Okay, I think that is still a very clear point that can be made, no matter what the numbers actually boil down to in that whole scenario. And, you know, again, take this to what, you know, that guy said about Twitch and who wants to watch people fucking play video games. Well, let me ask you this. And actually, Jamie, I'm going to pick on you a little bit.
What?
Well, no, I'm not going to pick on you, but I have noticed, especially in the past couple weeks since you've started getting into Dead by Daylight fandom, I can't watch people streaming Dead by Daylight anymore without seeing you in the chat room. Which is great.
I love it.
But let
I think
me,
I've turned you onto a couple lately.
You have. No, and I love it. I'm not shading that whatsoever. But I do notice, Dark Soccer, I feel like you're more actively participating in Twitch these last few weeks. I don't know if this is true or not. Tell me if I'm wrong. You've probably been more actively participating in Twitch in the last month than you have any other month.
Yeah. I would say so, because I actually am really enjoying the people with whom I'm interacting.
So, yeah, you're getting to my question. So my question is, are you spending hours watching Losing Color because you want to watch Losing Color play video games?
Half of it. I mean, right now I'm watching a lot of good Dead by Daylight streamers for educational purposes, so I can see what they do and get better. Of course, I'm also watching a lot of Survivors, so I can see what Survivors do, so I know how to counter it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other half has to do with that general personality. Like I during lunch one day, I was watching some girl play, and it was just like, she just wasn't interesting. And she had this big superiority complex and whatnot. I'm like, okay, I'm done with you. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
These others are personable. No matter how many followers they have, they're gracious about their followers.
Mm-hmm.
They thank them for the smallest donation. And even, you know, last night when I was in Puddin's stream, I, you know, one of the first things I do when I hop in is I just sort of go ahead. If I'm not hosting somebody, I'll go ahead and say, okay, /host, you know, whatever channel I'm watching. And he's like, I knew you were in here because I heard the host notification. And I was like, yeah. But, you know, but I think that part of it is watching those gracious streamers who are entertaining and personable at the same time that they're playing the game.
Yeah.
And they interact. They don't just ignore their chat.
And they end up coming up with inside jokes for their community on all this, you know, stuff that, you know, like, what was that thing? Go Piss Girl on Losing Color stream, which you wouldn't understand if you didn't watch that. I keep bringing up the same streamer, and I know he's a very, very big popular player on Dead by Daylight. And just they create their own, like, cultures. And, you know, here at VOG Network, and I've always talked about this, we're very, like, we don't have a huge audience, but we have a nice-sized one, and we've created quite an environment here for you guys. What makes you watch us? We're not playing video games here at all. And I like to think it's because we have a good time and what we talk about. And that whole where OLR started is that, you know, we started at the dining room, or excuse me, the restaurant table after playing DDR at Roseville Golfland, sitting around just talking about our favorite hobby, video games. And this is the virtual version of that. So
like giving each other shit, but yeah, that happens without saying.
So welcome to our dining table past the mozzarella sticks. You know,
mozzarella sticks.
The reason why I bring all this up is that this is what Bill Maher and folks from a certain generation, or should I say a certain mindset at least, are completely missing about Twitch. This is something that I've been guilty of in the past as well. This is something I think Bobby's been guilty of in the past as well. Probably a lot of us, because we didn't bring OLR or VOG or any of that stuff to Twitch. We probably should have done it years before we actually did.
And we kind of did.
We kind of did. You're right. We did do it on Justin TV and all that, but it didn't really, like, explode right out the gate and this whole thing. And Bobby had his Friday night gaming thing along, and he'll be happy to remind you about that story, that he was doing Friday night gaming before there was a Twitch, and he got told, I don't know how many times, who wants to sit there and watch other people play video games? So I think maybe because we had both done it in earlier forms and nobody really showed up, we kind of wrote it off and didn't go back to it for a long time, probably past the point we should have. But I know I've been one of those people that's like, I don't get why you sit there and watch video games. And it's not, and what you learn is it's not about the video games, it's about the people and it's about the community. And that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's go to chat, because I'm sure folks have their thoughts here. Bobby is in chat with a few good comments here saying, I have zero interest in Dead by Daylight, but I'll watch Jamie and Alan play it. Yeah. I mean, if you may not be interested in the game.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And Bobby says, I watch Rob play Final Fantasy XIV for Rob, not for Final Fantasy XIV. I could care less about it at this point. Well, thank you. And also says, I watch streamers for the streamers, not necessarily for the games. The only exception is when the game is out and I don't yet have it and I want to see it played. That's a good point, too. Like testing games a little bit, getting to see the real stuff or whatever.
I want to experience Ni No Kuni without having to sludge through.
That's right. Imagine if Bobby had never played the Ni No Kuni demo and instead watched somebody play it on release day, there may have been a very different reaction there. Who knows?
You'd have no idea how terrible the game is.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
That's right. Bobby says, I watched Rob stream Ni No Kuni 2. God, that was years ago. You have a great memory. That's right. I did stream that. Now, Questbuster has a comment here about Bill Maher's statement saying, Maher doesn't know how deep it goes. It's not only the games, it's the knock-on effect they have on people and the communities formed through them too, especially in the past year. And I think this is why a lot of us are coming claws out to what this Bill Maher comment was. Let's be real. This was some stupid ass joke written in the writing room hours before the show went live. This is not something Bill Maher fumes about in his library in his spare time. Ooh, I have to say something nasty about Twitch.
Boiled down to like the most cliche of cliche things, like nerds are our target. People that watch people play games, probably nerds. Let's make fun of them and point fingers at them. I mean, that shit's been going on since
we can't forever. Yeah, we can't talk shit about comic book nerds anymore because they rule Hollywood. So let's pick on someone else.
I don't know. I think there's that kind of culture that, you know, it's more accepting now to be, you know, very passionate about different things and to be eclectic. But like, you know, for some people, it's just, I don't know. I get the joke. It was just kind of a throwaway thing. You know, he doesn't get it. I guess technically that he thinks it's a fucking waste of time. That's his opinion. He's entitled to it. But he has a show. It is a platform.
That is also a fucking waste of time.
Yeah.
There's many people that would tell you television is a fucking waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway. Whatever. It's
fine. Does this end on the note that Bill Maher is the ultimate post-game Dead by Daylight troll? Anyway.
I don't think he even knows what that is.
He probably doesn't. And I think that just goes to show how ignorant the comment was.
I'm surprised the only thing that he hasn't heard about, like, it, you know, if we really want to take targets of like Twitch, you know, the hot tub streamers, you know, like make it a comment on that. I mean, geez, like that's something. I'm surprised he didn't go that route.
Well, yeah, if he had targeted the hot tub streamers, I bet we wouldn't even be talking about it now. Nobody would have spread it around on Twitch. So,
yeah.
So what I say to Bill Maher is I'm going to say, watch a drag queen play Dead by Daylight on Friday night and come back at me with a comment like that and tell me it's just about the video game. Like, seriously, educate yourself. Anyway, all right, enough about that. Let's get into some positive stuff. Let's talk about our gaming weeks, because video games are fun. And I don't know about you guys, but I've played some fun video games this week. So let's start with Dark Sakura. How was your gaming week?
It was more eventful than before. I did play Dead by Daylight. I had my glorious ending to my nurse match. That was my happy ending nurse game. I've been playing a lot of Wordscapes. I sent you a screenshot earlier about how incredibly addicted I am to it.
To which I replied, intervention.
Right. I've been playing Animal Crossing. I'm enjoying that as well. And I think really that's been about it. I've got a few things on my table, including the game I'm going to be playing after the stream tonight. Which is Fantasian. I planned on starting it live first playthrough with whoever wants to watch me curse at it loudly, probably.
So you're going to go until midnight again tonight?
I might go until I'm done with his makeup and who knows, you may even like get a pause midstream and I come back in my pajamas and no bra and no makeup and anything. I'd be like, all right, this is the time we get real.
Dark Sakura unplugged. All right.
Well, my pores unplugged.
All right. So stay tuned for that after the show tonight. For those of you that are here live, Fantasian. I want to check a little bit of that out, actually. So I haven't played it yet, but I want to. So I'm excited to see it. Anything else for your gaming week you want to share?
No.
Then how about Loki?
I played a bit of Orna, which really got different recently. They did an update that added like villagers or like some sort of people in a town, like mm-hmm. your areas that you take over, you can actually build buildings and stuff like shops, which you could do before, but now they have like these different, like a town hall and actual like houses that you can build to have people in them and they will bring you things. I know there's a thing that you can craft like potions and stuff, which I don't know why I would need to do that because I buy them by the thousands. So I don't know why I would want to gather resources to make one, but whatever. That's a thing, I guess. But yeah, so that's something that they just recently added. So I've been playing that quite a bit. Actually, last month I was able to get the final like reward because they give you like daily rewards if you play each day. And so I was actually able to get the one at the end of the month because I guess I play it every single day. So I played that. I played a lot of Minecraft. I published my first episode of my Let's Play series on the Collusion MC SMP server that I'm playing on right now. So I released that. Pretty proud of that. So hopefully more of that be coming soon. I know I've started designing the shop that I have that's going in the shopping district. So I was working on that last night, and it's been big farms. Like, I built this massive gold farm in the Netherroof, and so I've been working on that, just the farm stuff. So it's fun.
You forgot
go check my video.
I was gonna say, but plug that YouTube so that folks go subscribe to you.
YouTube's of course Loki OLR on YouTube.
All right,
so check it out.
Excellent. And I tweeted that from the OLR account too, so at OLR on Twitter if you want to get the link. Okay, my gaming week. Well, Loki, you stole my thunder there. I also played Orna, which I haven't touched in like a good, you know, we used to talk about that a lot on this show. I probably haven't touched that game in a good 2 or 3 months, but they did that massive update, and I was like, oh, well, let me go see what's different. Wow, lots of new things, which again is very impressive considering it's just one person that, you know, really, well, I mean, he contracts out, I think, for the music and some of the design stuff and that, but
yeah,
you know,
that's fine. But
it's essentially one guy
that's,
one-man
show,
made most of the game, so it's pretty impressive. But yeah, there's all that new stuff that's kind of in that, so that's been fun to look at.
I still don't know a lot of that is. Like, I know that one of the potions I saw I didn't recognize, but there's like one that's like, you know, you can get a, I don't know, it's like a mid-tier like health potion. I'm like, why would I do that? I just buy one. Like,
it's for people who are starting, it's a little harder to go out and buy
maybe
stuff.
Like,
yeah, people that are already almost like level 200
to build one of those houses that like, or build one of the things that actually makes the potions. It's like 5 million gold or something. Like, for that you could buy like 10,000 of them. I don't know why you would want to do that.
So your base fortress or whatever no longer has quests, so you have to build the new thing, the town hall or whatever, to get quests. And as you do those quests, your morale goes up. As your morale goes up, your population goes up, and they will, if you build the offering hall, whatever it's called, they will occasionally give you offerings. It's kind of like ActRaiser in that regard. So,
well, cool. I've already built all that stuff, and I'm gonna be doing more of the quests. But yeah, it's cool to see some additional stuff there.
Yeah, it's reinvigorated the game a little bit, which is what it needed because it was getting a little stale for me. So and they added regional chat. That's the huge thing. So now there's global chat, and this is the shocking thing. I was expecting to go in there and see like totally toxic stuff. No, it's like everybody's being super cool, and it's like, oh hey, I've seen you around. Where are you from? Hey, which in a game where you do go around and take other people's areas and stuff, nobody seems to care, which is a very pleasant feeling, unlike some other games I've played where people get very trolly and possessive.
Saint Mike finally.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, these people are real. Who knew? All right. So besides just Orna, I've also been playing Dead by Daylight, of course. But I've made some good progress in that game. I leveled Bubba or Leatherface all the way to 35, and that is important because you need to do that to get barbecue and chili, which is a talent of his that helps you track. You know, I'm trying to explain this to the people who don't know Dead by Daylight, but it helps you track survivors basically, so you can see where they are on the map just briefly, and it also increases your blood points, which is like experience, which you use to level up. So it's a very necessary talent, and I picked that up, and that felt very good. So now I'm back, and I'm playing Pyramid Head. I did my first Freddy match as well. Dark Sakura, my murder sister, has decided to buy me more DLC. Thank you. She picked up the Plague. I forget what that DLC is called, but the killer is the Plague, or Vommy Mommy. You bought that for me.
Like Devotion of the Damned or
yeah,
something.
It's like Plague of the Damned. I don't know what it's called. But anyway, I played that. I played a Vommy Mommy match or two. She's hard. Like, I did not.
So you see my frustration in learning her?
Yes, because I did not realize as you're inhaling. So her, she's called Vommy Mommy, and you can imagine why. When you're inhaling to do your thing, Loki, you're not muted. when you're inhaling to do your thing, you slow way down. And I didn't really realize that.
There are really, really good add-ons to offset that.
Yeah, but you don't have that in your first or second game. So
well,
that yeah, so that's taken
and you
some
go
time
through
to get
them
used
pretty
to.
Quickly.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so that's Dead by Daylight. We've talked plenty about that. The other game I've played this week, I'll talk a little more about. We actually did a special stream here on VOG Network on Friday night. I got my buddy Shane, who was part of the definitive Pokemon ranking stream a couple weeks ago here on the network. No, actually, that was last week. God, time flies. We actually spent some time playing Pokemon Snap and doing first impressions of that game because Shane had never played Pokemon Snap before, the first one that was on N64. He had actually never played that game. So seeing this new one, and he was cool enough to like not touch the new version and actually watch it on stream with me. So we actually streamed it together on Friday night. I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It's a lot of the stuff you really enjoyed about the first game, that very relaxing notion of going around and taking pictures of Pokemon and stuff and having that evaluated. It's not like a normal Pokemon game where you have to send them into battle. This game doesn't have battling. It's like you're riding a Disneyland ride taking pictures, which is something people do anyway. So I like it. It's a cute little diversion type of game. So, check that out. If you're a subscriber here at the Voice of Geeks Network, first off, thank you. Second off, you can check that out in the archives and watch that anytime you want. I will point out that was a special stream we just did as like a thank you, because so many of you guys, especially in the past couple of months, have been donating bits, subscribing, just showing the love when you don't have to. So it makes us kind of want to show the love right back by doing more episodes and mini things that we don't necessarily normally do. So that stream was one of them. So big thanks to Shane for showing up for that. And I had fun with the game. And I played for a little bit after the stream as well. I got to the jungle level and was playing that. And I went back and did the first park level a little bit and was playing that and getting some new Pokemon. I think it's just a nice game to just sit down and play in like 10 or 15 minute bursts. I mean, yes, it takes a lot of time to go through and pick the right pictures you want to show to the professor. But I think it's very, very relaxing to go through that. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, has he returned it to the store yet? So, spoiler alert, on the stream, Shane wasn't really into it. Like, he didn't think it was really for, and probably because it isn't about the battling or some of that other stuff, you know, that Pokemon is known for, I think Shane wasn't really feeling the game for what it was. So knowing that question would come up, I actually texted Shane before tonight's show, and I asked him, I said, what happened? Did you take it back to the store yet, or what happened? And he said, I've yet to play it, still sealed. So that I'd say that's somewhere in the middle, because he didn't take it back. He still has it, but he hasn't played it yet. You were going to say something, Jamie?
I just said, wow.
Yeah. No, he wasn't really feeling it. So I think it's great. I also understand, you know, there's no shinies in it, which is a huge thing for Shane because he's big into shinies. There's like 200 something Pokemon. So when you consider that, you know, there's almost 900 that are out there, there's going to be some left out of the game that's going to be a little bit upsetting. But there's a lot in there for me. So. So I enjoy the game. I think if you remember the first one on N64, whether you played it back in the day or you bought it on Virtual Console on Wii or whatever, I think there's a lot to enjoy in this one as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a nice, chill game. And I would play more. I can see where the $60 price tag makes people nervous. But I really like that they have like the whole like fake Instagram thing in there where you upload your pictures of Pokemon and people can like them. It's not like, they have to change the name because I'm sure Facebook has like trademarks. So they call it like Smiles. I don't remember what it's called. Sorry, somebody in chat will correct me. But you have those types of medals that you get on pictures. It's cute. I think it's really cute. Let's see. Act Deft in chat says, no shinies and no Oshawott family. Yeah, that's true. Meanwhile, I don't care about shinies, and Vulpix and Ninetales are in the game, so a win for me. Yeah, so. This one has boss fights. There's like a boss fight playing behind Loki right now, live on Twitch, where it's just basically a stage where you have one Pokemon you're trying to get the best possible picture of. And I think that's kind of an interesting little twist on the mechanic too. So, and you get to submit one picture at the end. That's kind of neat. So anyway, all right, let's get into some gaming news and talk about what's happened around the industry this week, or maybe discussion of some rumors of things that might be going on. Right, Logie?
I can see this happening.
I can too.
So, you know, with the popularity of Marvel, which has been like at all time high, and with the past record of NetherRealm putting out, like, for example, Injustice, and they also had the Marvel or the DC versus Mortal Kombat game as well, could totally see them working on a Marvel fighting game, which is the rumor, at least, that they're possibly working on that. And there's been some tweets by Ed Boon that could or could not be a hint at that. You know, he talks about like having lost a year with the, you know, COVID-19 virus and everybody having to be, you know, working overseas and stuff. He says it feels like it's returning from the Marvel blip. You know, it could mean something. It could be nothing. You know, who knows? But I could see them doing something along the lines of like an Injustice game or something. I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah, Tiger Claw in chat, his brain went exactly where mine did when I heard this. Tiger Claw in chat says, NetherRealm has the DC license. What if they did a DC versus Marvel fighting game?
They would never do that. Disney would never allow that.
Yeah, and that's where I'm kind of like, unfortunately, that would be up to NetherRealm to determine, because DC would have to sign off on that and Marvel would have to sign off on that, and I could see where the hesitation would be from both sides to do that. Although, certainly, my God, if they can make it work, that I think who wouldn't want to see that? Maybe some people wouldn't want it to be by NetherRealm. I could see that, but who wouldn't? The idea of a DC versus Marvel fighting game, I think a lot of people would like to see somebody, their favorite studio, do that.
I would love to see a Capcom DC fighting game. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, there was a DC Mortal Kombat game that was.
I understand that, but like, yeah. No, like a Capcom game though.
Yeah.
Like along the lines of Marvel versus Capcom.
Well, and this story also kind of brings that part of it up. What about Marvel versus Capcom? Does that mean that series is done? I mean, I know, you know, the Infinite and all that, it, you know, wasn't maybe as well received across the board as MVC2. But I think a lot of people were still hoping there would still be like another entry in the Marvel versus Capcom series.
Just because someone's making a Marvel game doesn't mean that they're not making a Marvel game or couldn't make a Marvel game. I mean, we just had a Marvel game come out from Square Enix. You know,
Avengers. Yeah.
I don't think that necessarily writes it off.
Going to chat for some other comments. Act Deft in chat says DC versus Capcom, New Age of Gods. Well, you never know; it could happen. DJ Rama S with a Dream Studio suggestion in chat. I'd rather see Arc System Works or Bandai Namco do a Marvel fighting game. They can add the comic feel of it, and I can certainly see the Arcs. Yeah, I can see both those companies really with that request on that for sure. Tiger Claw says, I think NetherRealm would turn out a really good Marvel fighting game with how those fighting games look cinematic in its presentation. Yeah, I think because...
And they could just play with the whole multiverse thing. I mean, it would just be insane.
Well, and the Injustice games are pretty good. I like them. They're neat. And I think you're right. I think there could be an interesting... Like, I could see where NetherRealm might make a cinematic universe type of game. Whereas then Capcom can kind of continue in the comic universe sort of game. I could see where the characters in Injustice, or in Injustice, NetherRealm's Marvel's Injustice, whatever the hell it is, if I could see how those characters might be based more off the movie personas, although then you get into all the likenesses and having to pay the actors and actresses, so it might not be exact, but I could see where they might do a take on the cinematic universe as opposed to the comic universe.
It would just be a different style. It would be kind of like Injustice, where, you know, it's less... I don't think that's necessarily based on a cinematic universe or whatever, but... I don't know. I'd like to see it. I think it'd be pretty cool.
SHO and Hunter Matt in chat says, really hope folks temper their expectations for NetherRealm fighting game. Keep in mind, Marvel is a Disney property. You're not going to see Captain America get his skull crushed. Sure,
well,
that's not an Injustice.
Same rules applied for DC Injustice as well, so...
But I hope folks understand it will be Injustice light. Yeah, but Injustice can still get a little bit brutal, but certainly none of those fatalities
there
or anything
no
like
fatalities,
that.
Yeah.
No. But I get what SHO 100 Matt is saying. It would have to be even less gritty than Injustice, I think, for Disney to sign off on it. But also look at the DC cinematic universe versus the Marvel cinematic universe. A lot of people have kind of dogged on the DC cinematic universe because it is too gritty overall. So Injustice kind of just reflects where the cinematic universe is at, I think. I don't know. That's my opinion. But anyway.
Well, I think when Injustice was made, they didn't really have much of a cinematic universe anyways. Were we on the Christian Bale films and stuff like that around that time? I can't even remember.
I guess you're right. They hadn't maybe Batman and Superman was a thing, but that might be as far as it went.
No. There wasn't Batman versus Superman yet. It was pretty much just its own.
Because that was the first flopperoo for me was that Batman and Superman movie. I didn't like it.
Yeah, it was way before that.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Tiger Claw says they could do a multiverse type of story where there's a version of the Marvel universe that's dark, and they have explored that in the comics before. I suppose anything is possible, but I would think they'd want to tie into something with like you know, the current, like, Loki, which is good, not our Loki, but the Loki in the Marvel Universe, which is going to be having his own show on Disney Plus very soon. And, you know, Wanda and Vision, you know, all that stuff that's, you know, that's out there right now. We'll see. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, I don't know. I still would like to see it just because I think NetherRealm makes good fighting games. And even though I'm not super into the newer Mortal Kombat games just because the violence is a little much for me, I think Injustice is a pretty solid franchise. So I'd be curious to see what they do with that. So, well, let's talk about a different thing that's going on over in the house of Capcom. So Capcom in the not too distant past released the Capcom Arcade. Capcom Arcade Stadium was what it was called. That came out on the Nintendo Switch. I know I picked it up, and I for a retro collection, I thought it was really solid. It's really good. Dark Sakura, you and Dan picked that up as well, right? If I remember right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys enjoy that too, I'm assuming, because it had Strider.
Oh, yeah. Mostly Dan's been playing a lot of Dai Makaimura.
Ah. Well, some news coming out in the past week that Capcom Arcade Stadium is going to come to more systems, not just the Switch. It will be coming out for more platforms in May. So it's going to be coming out for, I think, all the other ones, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam. Yeah, so pretty much all the big ones coming out on May 25th. And there are there's talk that there will be new games that will also be added as well. I think that's very exciting. So I'm really glad that the template has allowed, because I kind of wondered, I was like, you know, they could just fit more games into this. And it looks like that is the way they're going to go. They're going to add more games to the collection. So we don't know what they are yet, but there is talk that those games are going to be coming. Now, on the I don't know if this is exciting side of things, there's also some other modes that will be coming. An invincibility mode. It allows you to just play through the games and you don't have to worry about ever dying. But all the quarters are fake anyway, so whatever. The invincibility mode and the new frames that come with it will cost $1. So you have to pay for invincibility. So, yeah, I think that's interesting.
Yeah,
that just drives people to want to go to emulators, right? I think it's interesting they threw in the frames with it to try to be like, well, we're charging for the cosmetics too. That's a little bit of a yeah. Anyway, that's the display frames set one. So that is coming out. It's supposed to be 32 new frames though, which okay. Anyway, in a related note, another game retro thing that Capcom did recently was the Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection. Some of you may have had your eyes on that. That is also going to PlayStation 4, PC, and Xbox One on June 1st. So if for whatever reason you haven't picked that up yet on Switch, and maybe one of those other consoles speaks to you more, you can check that out on June 1st. Dark Sakurai, that's Ghosts and Goblins is a good one at your household, too. Did you pick this up, the Resurrection, at all?
Not yet, actually. I don't know why Dan's been waiting on it. I mean, he's probably a little bit more of, you know, the Ghosts and Goblins fan than I am. Because, I mean, honestly, it's hard and it makes me scream. Mm. So I keep encouraging him to get it, but he hasn't gotten it yet. So whatever.
Dark Tetsuya pointing out Capcom Arcade Stadium still has Rewind built in. So he's like, I don't know. Why would you need to do invisibility? I think that's a good question. Dark Tetsuya also says, I am hoping one of the updates includes Black Tiger. That's my favorite from Capcom's early catalog. Yeah, that would be nice to see some of the other the ones that were overlooked from the back catalog would be pretty cool. Going back to the last story a little bit, I would point out what Bobby Blackwolf says here, saying, let's just have Sakurai make the Marvel fighting game. How about letting Sakurai take a fucking nap?
Yeah, he's busy.
I have a feeling Sakurai never wants to work on a fighting game again. And I, you know what? He's earned it. I'm making that up. I don't know. I'm not in his head, but I let the man take a goddamn nap. Don't put him in the Marvel universe right now. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, it's the Stadia news, because I mean, as we all know now, I'm playing quite a bit more Stadia, but they are adding a much needed search bar to the freaking web store, thank God, because you have to kind of scroll through all this crap. I mean, how in the hell does a search engine, you know, company, originally a search engine, not have some kind of search feature in their damn game store. So now you can click on it and you can type in whatever you're looking for. And also it seems to hint that there's going to be a Assassin's Creed of some variety being added to Stadia. So keep your eyes open.
Well, that is nice that finally the search engine's game store got a search engine. Isn't that lovely? So that's the joke a lot of people are making this week. And even Jason poked fun at that.
Minimum expectations have been met.
At the introduction of the show. I guess when you don't have a lot of games on your service, though, you don't need a search bar. So I guess that's a sign that Stadia is getting more and more games. That's for sure. So there's that.
Yeah.
And I guess I have to watch my jokes and stuff with Stadia because Darksiders is actually playing on it.
It's saved my tail. You know, I have it keeps me in the game. It makes me really happy.
All right.
It's definitely better than I thought it was overall.
Oh no, the technology's great. Like, yeah, it's just the whole, you know, the bandwidth caps. By the way, we did exceed our bandwidth cap last month in this house. Do you want to hear the funniest part? We exceeded our bandwidth cap, ready for this, by 9 gigs.
Jeez.
I hate it.
It's
ridiculous. Well, you get 1 month waived or whatever, but it's like at the same time, I'm like, well, let me pay the fee this month when we went 9 gigs over and then give me the free month when I decide to go on an Xbox in November when all the new games come out and I go on a downloading binge.
Go on a gaming bender.
Exactly. So it's just ridiculous. There shouldn't be a bandwidth cap at all.
Well, they also sell like unlimited data now, too. Like you can pay for that.
I think that's what we have.
I think it's like $100 a month, though, isn't it? It's really high. Yeah. So it's.
I think we pay like something like $75 for our whole package.
The overage fees max out at $100 anyway. So it's a little silly.
Oh, so that's really nothing.
It really isn't. So, all right. You know, I've mentioned it on the show before, Alan and I are trying to look at relocating. That's something we've been working on. So, and the part of town we're relocating to actually has options. There's competing internet services. So, maybe we won't have to worry about bandwidth caps so much in the future. I haven't looked at what the, rivals offer though. All right, moving on. Let's get to our next story, which, I think is Loki's.
Yeah. So, Microsoft is actually taking, I don't know if they're doing this because of Epic, but they are also cutting the rev share from their storefront from 30% to 12%. Now, it's right now, it's I believe PC games launching on their Xbox storefront will be able to earn more money that way. I don't believe this applies to their actual Xbox storefront that's on their console.
Not
right
yet.
Now, it's just the PC Windows store, I guess.
Correct. It's rumored for the Xbox, but nothing concrete about when that's going to happen. And it would be a logical step, certainly. But nothing concrete on that yet.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. I don't know if the Apple Epic lawsuit has anything to do with motivation for this stuff, because we've been seeing kind of a lot of different moves that kind of tie in with that.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Bobby Blackwolf
is always good for developers.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says they came out and said it's not coming to Xbox. I took it to kind of be interpreted as nothing's confirmed at this time, like it might still happen in the future. I don't
say we will not be updating the revenue split for console publishers. So the insane thing.
Yeah, that isn't a definitive no, not ever to me. But at the same time, we shouldn't run with it is coming to Xbox. Just we don't know yet, but I don't know. I have a hard time believing it never will. But you're also right in that it's probably waiting to see what comes out of some of these other legal things going on right now. Because it's not, you know, you've got the Apple and Epic thing going on. You've got the antitrust going on for not just Apple, but Facebook, but Google. You've got a lot of tech companies under the microscope right now. I think Microsoft might actually be involved in that too. I can't even fucking keep track anymore. So you have so much tech that's under the microscope right now that I could see where Microsoft's kind of waiting on some of that to see where they need to move accordingly. But I would say it strikes me as it's not a never ever sort of situation, but
yeah.
I suppose nothing is in this industry, right? So
well, they won't want to like make promises they're not going to keep.
Yeah. So Bobby Lakoff does point out that we know about this because of the Epic Apple lawsuit. It's part of the evidence that has been entered into this. And Tiger Claw says, calling it the Apple Epic lawsuit strikes me funny. It's going to be anything but epic, LOL. Well, tomorrow's going to be a big day. Let's just say that. Of course, we're taping live on Sunday night. Monday is when all that stuff is going to be in court. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't even watch Law and Order, so I'm not going to sit here and try to say what I think ought to happen or what should happen. All I'm going to say is it's going to be interesting. That's it. So, especially to see what comes as a result of that. All right, let's move on. Let's get into a story about Among Us, you know, which was huge on Twitch for quite some time. And it's still around, but I don't see it as often as I used to.
It's still popular. Just I don't think it's necessarily on our radar.
Yeah. Well, you know, something that's only going to help it grow is this story about how Among Us is going to be coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 later in the year. This came up during a State of Play, a little kind of like Sony's little version of Nintendo Directs. They did their own little PlayStation Direct this week, and they confirmed that Among Us is going to be coming to PlayStation 4 and 5 later this year. It will have cross-play capabilities, so meaning you get to cross-play on other platforms with your friends, but it also comes with the platform exclusive skin. It has to do with the Ratchet and Clank franchise, so you get your own little Ratchet and Clank skins in the game, which, considering the focus of the State of Play, they were showing a lot of the new Ratchet and Clank game with that. It makes sense that kind of ties in there. So I don't think did we get a date on that? I don't think we did. We just got a later this year, so we don't know when. It's also supposed to hit Series X and S on the Xbox side of the house later this year as well, but we also don't know the exact day when that is coming either. It should be noted that Among Us got a big update recently. If you haven't been paying attention, the airship map launched relatively recently. So
yeah, it was like a couple months ago.
Yeah. So all right, let's move on and talk about our next story.
Yes, this is very good news for people who like to collect, physical versions of games. There is, of course, the Castlevania Anniversary Collection for PS4 and Switch. And now pre-orders for the physical collection is going to start on May 14th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, just before the new Netflix season starts, and you get four different editions. So there's a standard, which is just the game. There's a classic one that has the game, a soundtrack on CD, a reversible poster, and a retro style dust sleeve. It's also in metallic ink. Ooh. And then the Bloodlines edition adds to this an 18 by 24 inch poster in a deluxe clamshell. And then finally the Ultimate Edition the soundtrack, the poster, and actually the artwork is done by Tom Dubois, who did a lot of classic Konami game artwork.
Oh, that's cool.
A shadow box that has light and sound, a steel book, a collection of mini replica boxes, dust sleeve, box art prints of the original the first three Castlevania games, an enamel pin, and a physical version of the history of Castlevania, which I don't know, I might have to pay money. I want it.
The only thing I'm bummed about is that it didn't happen like months ago, because that Castlevania collection has been out a little while, so it almost seems like this is a bit late for this to be finally happening. But at the same time, you know, they've really gone all out with this. Like, I think it's really cool they're getting the actual artist that did a lot of that Konami box art to actually participate with this.
It's $175.
You still kind of want it, though, don't you?
Kinda. I super want it.
I understand. And a lot of classic Konami fans are going to want it, and Castlevania
it's
fans.
Kid Dracula.
And this is all you get when it comes to Castlevania anymore, so...
I mean, this thing is, so the games that are on it, I mean, just to recap for those who haven't played it, is Castlevania, Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest, Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse, Super Castlevania 4, Castlevania the Adventure, Castlevania 2 Belmont's Revenge, Castlevania Bloodlines, and Kid Dracula, which I love Kid Dracula.
But that was on sale on the PlayStation 4 over the holidays for $15. So that's...
I know, but some people like to have, you know, light boxes and art books.
Yes, yes. And dishes and spoons.
And dishes and spoons. Don't judge
me. I get it. I get it. Why can't it come? Why can't it come with a whip? That's what I want to know. Shouldn't
you know that I have a whip?
What about? Is it a Castlevania whip?
No, it's an Indiana Jones whip that I bought at Disneyland.
Oh, that's still kind of cool.
It can be a Castlevania whip.
I didn't know Disneyland.
Technically, hold up. Kristen bought it for me.
Hold up. Disneyland sells whips?
Like, yeah, they have Indiana Jones.
Right across from the temple of the.
I'm aware that I'm aware that there is Indiana Jones at Disneyland. That part I get. I didn't know they sold weapons at Disneyland. That's just news to me.
They sell weapons at Disneyland. That's the first place I would go to find weapons.
So, side story about that: the day that Kristen bought me my hat and my whip, we also bought giant snakes, and we saw snakes on a plane at the theater at Downtown Disney wearing snakes.
Oh my god! All right, the end. yes, they should have a Castlevania whip, and they should have Castlevania official holy water.
If it was the Castlevania whip, though, you know it would be made out of steel chain.
Yeah, only the good stuff.
I'm fine with that.
It's expensive, and then I mean, it's practically a meteor hammer, is what it is.
All right.
Watch my enemies.
Something in my Second Amendment, I think. Covers, you know, metal whips. We'll call the gun.
It is an armament.
Yes, they. Yeah, the right
the
to bear arms.
Government's trying to take my whips.
They have to be firearms. They could be, you know, medieval weapons of death.
That's it. I'm traveling. I'm going to open carry a Morningstar.
There's no laws against it, right?
There are no laws against open carrying a Morningstar, I think.
There you go.
All right, before this gets really weird, let's move on to our next story, Loki.
It can always get weirder. It's fine.
Sure. With the story about whips, now let's do a story about Lady Dimitrescu from Resident Evil Village. How about it?
Yeah, so
she's gorgeous.
Resident Evil Village had a demo recently, and it was a time demo. Time demo that could work if it's on consoles, but if it's on PC, you really don't have control over the time demo on that. So that's what happened, is folks figured out that this time demo that was really only going to be 60 minutes originally was now people found a way to reset that timer so that they could play longer or play, longer, I guess, than the intended time. Capcom then later on came out and extended the time even more, but you know, folks said, who cares? I have a way to do it as many times as I want. So I don't understand what the point of making it a limited demo in the first place. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, because they don't make money off the demo. They make money off of you buying the game because you got the first hit's free. That's what it is.
Yeah, but like, you didn't get a good impression of the game the first time you played it? And so that's it.
Ask the creators of Ni No Kuni. I don't know what to tell you.
That's very stupid. But, I don't know. Nintendo does the same thing. They have their like 30 demo. You play this demo 30 times and that's it.
Yeah.
Sometimes folks want to are excited about a game and they just want to play the demo over and over and over again until the full game comes out. Like I did with Saints Row. But sure, let's just poo-poo on the fans like that and limit things, make it more difficult.
Well, it is very silly that they released that on PC with the timer as if it wasn't going to get hacked. I mean, that's just begging for it. I mean, this is the biggest like non-surprise story of the entire year. Like, oh, a time demo was released and instantly hacked on PC. I'm sure it's been hacked on consoles too if you've done other things to your console to allow you to get in there and mod it for. It's just not as easy as it is on PC, which is an open platform by design. So
pretty much, yeah.
SG100 Matt in chat says you get to watch for free, touching is extra. Yeah, it's that whole thing. Let's see. Orange Ride in chat says don't want people to play the demo and think, "Yep, this is good enough. See Doom's shareware version." Well, that was, I mean, I do get
but
that.
That's different though.
A lot of people only ever played that shareware version, and that was Doom. That was it. They didn't realize, wait, there's an episode 2 and 3. What?
And 4.
And
wasn't
four. That's right.
Too?
I think there was a 4 as well. I can't remember. Some of them had 6. Some of them had 4. I don't. because Wolfenstein 3D was like the first like big game I remember like that. I think that had 6 episodes. But
no,
you know,
it was 4, I think.
No, it had 6 because I remember, okay, here's what I remember about Wolfenstein 3D. It wasn't even the Wolfenstein 3D. It was the Mortal Kombat mod somebody made for Wolfenstein 3D. And then you actually got to fight like Scorpion and stuff at the end of the level. It was just graphic mods and things like that. It was silly. But
those
I think
there
were 6.
The fun things.
Yeah, Bobby agrees with me. There were 6 episodes of Wolfenstein. Okay. Doom may have only had 4. I think you're right on that. So, all right. Anyhow, let's talk about a game that didn't have enough for the price that people paid for it. Super Mario Party. I don't know. It had enough for some people. But there was a lot of people, I think, that played that game wondering, why can't I play Mario Party online? Like, the year is 2020, I think, when this came out. It's 2021 now. Why can't I play Mario Party online? Well, guess what? Nintendo came out this week and said, you can. You will be able to play Super Mario Party online. Now, to be clear, I'm talking about the full board game experience, because technically when Mario Party launched, it had a Mario-thon mode where some of the mini games were playable online. So somebody's going to correct me if I don't correct myself. But a new update is out that is giving Super Mario Party a bigger multiplayer experience. Up to 4 people can play the classic board game or the team-based partner play. 70 of the 80 mini games are available. I'm not sure why 10 were left out, but I'm guessing they were things that don't do well with lag or internet and things like that.
They were only, those games were only good until March 31st, so unfortunately they had to be cut.
That's right. And Mario is no longer selectable.
Really, the only reason this game's getting published is because Luigi's in it, so it's fine.
it's actually now Super Luigi Party. You can actually mix and match online and local. That's pretty cool. All this shade we're throwing aside, that part's pretty cool, because that means you could have 2 people in one place versus 2 people in another. That could be pretty cool. you will have to have a Switch Online membership to play online, but that is now the norm in Nintendo. So there you go. But I think it's very interesting that it's all this time after the fact, and it is a free update. So, you know, as much shit as we give Nintendo, let's give them this. This was not something they sold with the original game, and people dogged them for it. Here it is a year later. They've released it. What do y'all think? Is this, should we be applauding Nintendo, or should we be saying, you really should have thought of that 9 months ago, Nintendo? I don't know. I'm kind of torn, because I think it's great. Nintendo does have a pretty good track record, especially when it comes to some other people in the industry like EA, of like supporting games quite a while after launch with very robust DLC, surprise patches such as this, and what we saw with Mario Maker and things along those lines. I think there are some things where we should be cheering Nintendo, and that's great things, but this is really one of those things where you're like, why now? Like, this took a long time. I mean, but hey, they could have saved it for Super Mario Party 2, and they didn't.
Yeah,
I guess, but I mean,
oh God, ActDev points out it's actually 2.5 years. Oh my God, I thought it was a year old. The pandemic has fucked with us all. I thought it was only a year old game. Okay, it's a 2.5 year old game. So now,
do they even sell it anymore? I guess they do.
Oh yeah, online, of course. You can get it. Even though it had Mario in it, they did not pull it on March 31st. So you can still buy it on the eShop. In fact, when I went in to buy Pokemon Snap, Tarjay still had a copy of 3D All-Stars, and I would bet a lot of stores still do. So,
oh yeah, they're like the one Target I go to frequently. They still have like 10 or 15 of those Game & Watches still. Like,
oh wow.
Like, they were off the shelves for a long time, and then their last shipment, everyone's just like, nah, I don't really need that. And so they've been sitting there.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for them to get discounted.
ActDev says the release date was October 5th, 2018. My wow. God, I honestly thought it was a year ago, but what is time in this pandemic anymore? So cut me some slack. All right. But there you go. That feature coming to Mario Party after all this time. So maybe, and you know what, Loki, you know, you kind of say, is the game even available anymore? Maybe this is something where it's going to encourage another printing of the game, and they're going to put it back on shelves with this whole tag. So it's almost like you're putting a second life into the game, because usually games sell what they're going to sell within the first 30 days, you know, you know what I mean? Like, it makes its biggest impact. It splashes
it
gives, first 30
it
days.
It makes the legs longer.
Yeah, and then it's a slow burn. Say. But now it's like another kind of like sales spike that they could get away with this by putting it back out there saying, now available to play online, which, you know, maybe did... I didn't even really think of this when I first read the story, but it would make a lot of sense. Maybe the pandemic played into that because you can't, you know, even though now that the vaccine is out and we have that guidance that, you know, vaccinated people can hang out in small groups, which reminds me, Dark Sakura, we need to like hang out. Like we're both vaccinated. Actually, Loki, we can't, we're all vaccinated. We haven't hung out yet.
Okay.
We have to do that at some point. But anyway, my point is that, you know, during this pandemic, a lot of people couldn't get, well, and the situation is not the same in Japan. You know, it's we're seeing like the Universal theme park has closed again and, you know, things are in a different situation there, for example. So maybe the pandemic caused this to happen because you can't exactly invite your friends over to play Mario Party in all parts of the world right now. So that could be I didn't really think about that, but I bet that plays into it. So, all right.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Anyway. Where's the Twitch streams now of this? This is the game I want to see AOC play. I want to see her, and I want to see a Republican in the House of Representatives. I don't know. I guess.
Listen, we don't need declarations of war.
I want to see Congress people playing Mario Party. That's what I want. Get AOC and get Ted Cruz. He'd be easy to beat. He'd just fall asleep. And you know what? When the odds aren't in his favor, he'll just leave and go to Tahiti or wherever it was he went.
Cancun.
Thank you. He'll just go there and he'll be easy to beat. All right. Let's move on. SSJ100 Matt says, or VOG. Well, you're talking about me dropping $60 on a game, but maybe for a bonus stream. Maybe.
I have it already. So.
Oh, do you? Then I'm going to come borrow
it. I'm pretty sure I buy all the Mario games.
All right. Maybe. I don't think Bobby has it either, though, so I don't know. We'll see. All right. ActDef says, I did actually see people streaming Super Mario Party, but then Returnal and Pokemon Snap happened. That's true. Yeah, we didn't even really talk about Returnal this week, and I'll just shout the game out because I am interested in it, but unfortunately, just with, you know, stuff going on personally, I can't really dump $500 on a PlayStation 5 right now. If I could even find one, I mean, I'd get Shane to help me because he knows how to do all that stuff. So I'd get him to help me. I am very interested in Returnal. I want to play it. It looks really cool. Unfortunately, I'm just locked out of a PlayStation 5 right now. I imagine that is a similar situation for, well, Loki, you have a PS5, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
I have a Series X.
Oh, that's right. I can't even remember anymore. So none of us have a PS5 right now. And odds are none of you do either because they're hard to find.
I'm not really interested in getting one right now either.
Returnal I would play, but maybe I'll wait just a little bit longer. Well, in reality, just because of things going on in my personal life, I'll probably get one this holiday because it's very likely to be some type of hardware refresh, like a larger drive or a different color system or something. Like, they're going to zhuzh it up a little bit for this holiday season, and hopefully they're actually available. So we'll see. All right. Questbuster in chat says, best description I've heard of Returnal on streams is that it's a cross between Contra, Risk of Rain, and Super Stardust, which makes sense because it's the same studio that did Super Stardust, if I remember right. So, yeah, very interesting.
That sounds insane.
Yeah. It sounds awesome. So, all right. Let's get to the classic game of the week. And every week here on the show, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, listen up, you brats. Instead of your newfangled Returnals and your Pokemon Snaps from 2021, you should check out this classic game instead. But I have to admit, Dark Sakura, you did a really weird game this week. You did really weird thing this week.
Well, it's a fucking weird arcade game.
Oh, it's your... I didn't catch that it was your flag. Oh, I'm an idiot. Okay, that's right. It's May now. Hello. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then let me also state in a 2021 twist, which I somehow missed, Dark Sakura actually picks an arcade. That's what, because I looked at it and I'm like, is this 10 years old? I don't think it is. Okay, I get it, because it's a different thing. Okay, so she picks a weird arcade game to put on display for everybody. Okay, and this one isn't Japanese either. And a lot of us associate the weird-ass arcade games with Japanese arcades. So how about that? I got out-twisted. I got outplayed. Dark Soccer just voted me off the island with this pick this week. Good job. All right, what is the...
You were on Third Hook.
Yes, I just went to Third Hook. There it is. I just...
All
yeah,
references I don't get because I don't play Dead by Daylight.
Well, maybe you should start. All right. here it is. The fucking weird arcade game of the month. Dark Soccer, what did you pick?
The Last Bar Fighter. Not to be confused with the Simpsons episode. So, The Last Bar Fighter has the distinction of being a kind of redemption game, you know. But what you redeem is beer. So it is a really simplistic fighting game. You start with putting your cups on the tray below the tap, which is going to replace the coin slots. And pretty much, you know, once you do that, then you can choose one of five different characters, all named after different Big Boss Brews. It was done for the Big Boss Brewing Company as a marketing tool. It basically, you have like different, you know, very simple attacks. I mean, you'll get, you know, fire throwing and unicorn horn impaling and all kinds of stuff. There's a character that looks like Misty Knight from, you know, Marvel. But basically, the winner of the cup gets a sample of beer from a keg inside the machine. It's interesting. It's actually called the Beercade. It's their first ever beer dispensing arcade game to offer an interesting way to sample beers. And so that's where The Last Bar Fighter comes in. It is actually developed from a Flash-based game. Your characters are named Hell's Bells, Bad Penny, Angry Angel, Blanco Diablo, and High Roller. So you've got, like I said, punches, kicks, unicorn butt slaps. You win the best of three rounds. You get a beer. I want beer. I have soju in my fridge. Anyway, it's novel. It's novel, and it was a good idea as an advertising gimmick. It really is very gimmicky. But how many people can say I beat my buddy at this fighting game and I got free beer for it? I mean, if anything, something like this could have caught on in other breweries. You know, they were missing a big licensing opportunity. But I mean, like, I would only play it if, like, the beer sample was a good beer.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a crappy beer that you get from this.
Well, it's a microbrewery is what it was. So the specific brewery had their samples. Like, what if, you know, Pyramid or BJ's had something like that, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised the place downtown
doesn't have
this.
Pyramid's gone, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I'm surprised that Coin-Op downtown doesn't have this, though.
But Coin-Op isn't a microbrew.
True.
They do offer a selection of local beers
local
on
stuff.
Tap.
Yeah,
but...
yeah.
But it's not going to be the same thing. Like, they don't do beer flights or something like that.
All right. This trailer is only a minute long, and I've seen it three times now, so I'm going to go back to the video there.
And to tell pod culture, Ultimate Man Cave, what's with the gendering of this? This is a Jamie Cade.
Jamie wants one in her house, so...
Really, I just want some beer, so...
All right. I'll fight you for it. All right.
I think I have a Sapporo Black in my fridge.
All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, The Last Bar Fighter. Good pick. You fooled me, Dark Sakura. I didn't even realize it was a flag, but it makes perfect sense. All right.
I fooled you once.
All right. Let's get to some rapid fire news, and we'll quickly talk about some other things that are going on in the industry. Who's starting us off tonight? I think Loki.
Yeah. So apparently Activision has even more studios working on Call of Duty now. Apparently there's been some report of layoffs for Toys for Bob, but that's not actually true. It says there's not been a reduction in personnel recently at the studio. Development team is operating fully and has a number of full-time openings at this time. And this is a continuing support on Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time. And provide additional support to Call of Duty. As of right now, they have almost all of the Activision studios are working on Call of Duty. So Toys for Bob, or Toys for Bob, is working on Warzone Season 3 content. Raven Software has been a support studio for Call of Duty since 2010. Activision Shanghai is working on Call of Duty Online. Demonware is doing server support. Former, was it High Moon Studios is supporting Call of Duty as well. Beenox has been working on Call of Duty since Black Ops 3. And Infinity Ward, Treyarch, Sledgehammer have been developing Call of Duty games. So it's all Call of Duty all the time. And then as we were talking about some updates for Among Us, there's another popular game that's streamed on Twitch as well, Fall Guys. You may remember that. It was supposed to be coming to consoles, or more consoles, I should say, recently, including the Xbox and Switch. However, that has been delayed again. So now there is, I don't think, any update on when it's coming out, but it says the delay gives our teams time to add features like crossplay. So when we add new platforms, players will be able to stumble in harmony with their pals regardless of platform of choice. So that's what they're spending time on right now, but no word yet on when we will see the game come to those consoles.
All right, let's move on to Dark Soccer and what you have for Rapid Fire News.
I'm actually cheering some bits right now for our hype train.
Yes, big thanks to you guys in chat for your generosity. I'm always blushing.
I love hype trains.
Yeah, it's and that also puts us on the front page of Twitch for a short period of time. So I never know if anyone actually comes from the front page and lurks in chat to see, because what a weird thing this is, because we're not playing any video game. We're just talking about gaming culture and video games and all that good stuff. So hello to any new people.
I spam us in five different Discord channels when we start.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Yeah, you know that's the funny thing about you having the increased Twitch presence, and that's probably one thing. I mean, you got to be careful, because it's actually really tacky to promote yourself as someone else's Twitch channel. But if someone asks, then it's, you know, it's a good way to get the word out.
Well, that's exactly it. But a lot of people have on their Discord now, like, promote your or when you go live.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No, that's a great way to do it. Like the Dragon Con digital media track has something like that. And I know Bobby's really good about promoting on there, except I always flop. I need to, but I'm doing a lot over here to get the show going. I need an intern. We need a new intern is what we need. You know what? Because, Drew.
Drew retired.
Drew's like in his 30s now. He can't be an intern. Well, he can be, you know.
Well,
but
Drew retired to be a cat dad.
Age is irrelevant. But I think we need a new intern that will help promote on social media and all that stuff. Anyway, but then I feel guilty because I'm like, but then you're asking someone to get paid and exposure and all this stuff. But at the same time, I'll pay you double what I make. Nothing. So it's a labor of love. It is what it is. So anyway, if anyone's like seriously interested in helping to do some of that stuff, reach out to us at OLR online, because that would actually mean a lot. Anyway. In the meantime.
So from my rapid fire, Konami has said that they are not attending E3 2021.
Do they even have any games?
Can I finish?
Let her finish and you might find out.
Because they are in, quote, deep development on a number of key projects, end quote. They made a public statement on it. In fact, I'll read the statement. Due to timing, we will not be ready to present at E3 this year. We want to reassure our fans that we are in deep development on a number of key projects, so please stay tuned for some updates in the coming months. While we are not participating this year, we have great respect for the ESA. We know that 2021 will be a great success. We will continue to support the ESA and wish the best to all participants in this year's show.
Did you get your answer, Loki?
Skeptical, but yes, sure.
That was a very solid snake level grunt.
It's
Metal Gear confirmed.
How many platforms are they bringing Frogger to now?
It's all mobile games are in development, I'm sure. I will give this to SSJ100 Matt in our chat. At least they're not coming with BS hype footage. You know what? Let's give them that. At least they're not coming to lie. So, I can't... Let's all praise Konami for not lying. I guess is what I'm saying.
Let's praise them for the bare minimum.
You tried.
All right.
Anyway, also, well, we know that Yoshinori Ono left Capcom, but you know what he left for? He is the president and COO now of Delightworks. Their founder and president before Akihito Shoji actually, I think he's retiring. We have Ono is now going to be the head honcho there.
Good for him, because he's such a pleasant person to see at a lot of these events, like at E3 and things like that. So I'm glad that he'll still be in the industry doing, because I've heard some weird things about whatever went down at Capcom. So I'm glad he's going to stay a part of this industry at the end of the day. He's just a joy to watch speak and things like that. So, yeah, that's all I have to say on that. All right. That's it for Rapid Fire News. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. Loki, we'll start with you. What's coming out in the U.S. this week?
We got a few things. So Dragon Quest Builders 2 is coming to Xbox One. We've got Wreckfest on PlayStation 5. Skate City on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Resident Evil Village on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Stadia. And that's it.
All right. Traveling to Japan, you know, oftentimes when there is a slow week on releases, I'm like, is it because it's Golden Week in Japan? This is the week where, yes, it is Golden Week in Japan. However, there is one big release on the PlayStation 4 and 5 that's happening on May 8th, which I think is technically after it's over anyway, and that is Resident Evil Village. But otherwise, it's a slow week. And this is the week where Golden Week really is to blame for that. But I hope everybody in Japan is having a lovely week with all the holidays this week. Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
So only a handful of things. On May 5th is Evergate for Switch. Also for Switch on the 6th is Pixel Puzzle Adventures plus Picto Quest Puzzle Bundle. On the 7th, the Nintendo Switch Lite Blue comes out, and also Resident Evil Village.
All right. Well, I think we have some more stories to get into here, so we are going to get into our next story. Loki, why don't you start us off here?
Yeah, so Sony has actually begun selling the PlayStation 5 in China. That's huge news, because typically China hasn't really had game consoles there because of their lockdown and, like, I think these different electronic devices,
or they do they come out in different ways, like the whole Nintendo Nvidia thing, right?
Nvidia Shield that had like Wii games on it.
I think it was Wii games. Was like way after the fact, but you know, still, yeah. It's you know. There's a few people that live in China. It's a very big, so anytime,
just a few.
Anytime you have a big console release, it's a big deal because China's just such a large market.
Right, exactly. So it's going on sale here pretty soon. Looks like on May 15th is when that's planning on going on sale. They're going to have the digital-only version and, of course, the disc version available as well. Hopefully scalpers don't eat that up. I don't know what the scalper situation is in China, but it's not good over here.
Well, and certainly a lot of people are going to be asking, you know, well, wait a minute. How's that going to deal with the supply issues they're having in the rest of the world? Well, I mean, you know, everybody should be able to play PlayStation 5, so I hope that question isn't coming up too much.
Right.
But I'm sure people are going to be asking it. Is like, well, can't they wait to launch it in China so they can get some of those parts, you know, in other things? But there also might be people that may try to import one to have a play, but that wouldn't really work either, would it? You can't just like switch a PS5 you buy that's intended for the Chinese market. You can't just flip a Switch and make it a North American PS5, right? It's not going to work that way.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case, because I think I don't think that they have those necessarily locked down for regions, but maybe.
But the importing costs would be crazy for one.
Yes, yeah. It's the equivalent. So, like for example, the disc version right now is the equivalent of about $603 U.S. dollars. It's $38.99 won, and then also the PlayStation 5, the digital only version, is about $479 or it's $3,099 won. So it's, I don't know. I right now they're releasing like a few games available for that. It's three games right now: Sackboy, Ratchet and Clank, and Genshin Impact. I don't know if necessarily we're gonna have a lot of people importing that, because I think that would make it, I don't know, maybe import if you can get it legitimately and import it. Maybe it might be cheaper than some of the scalpers out there. I don't
know.
But
I don't know. No,
I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I just wait for eventually. It's got to be easier to find on shelves here. You just have to wait, resist the urge to buy from scalpers. But since we're not in the holiday period, it should be easier to do that. I think a lot of people that don't pay attention to those sorts of things are like, you know, parents that just have to get one for their kids and they don't care. They'll pay the scalper fees. But that tends to happen more around the holidays. I mean, I guess birthdays can happen at any time, but that's why you see it happen so much more often at the end of the year, I think.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, moving on, let's talk about this interesting story, which has to do with Riot Games and something that they are doing for one of their game that they released, I think, relatively recently, Valorant. They're going to be recording the voice communications in that game to catch people that are being very, very naughty, meaning, you know, things like racist and other things that just, you know, grow up and don't do those things online or anywhere. So Riot has announced that they are going to be updating their privacy policy. They're going to record and evaluate reported player voice communication in Valorant, which I believe did come out some time ago, but it's an update to their policy in this. In a statement, they said, "In order for us to take action against players who use voice comms to harass others, use hate speech, or otherwise disrupt your experience, we need to know what those players are saying. Which is why, moving forward, we'll need the ability to analyze voice data." They have explained the way that this works. The company will not be actively listening to players. They're only going to record data if a report is filed, although I'm sure that's not going to stop a lot of tinfoil hat people from thinking a different way. But at the same time, you know, Xbox Live could be listening to you. PlayStation, the Nintendo app could be listening to you if you want to believe any of those things. Riot says, "When a player submits a report for disruptive or offensive behavior in voice comms, the relevant audio data will be stored in your account's registered region and evaluated to see if our behavior agreement was violated."
I think it's more accurate that they are recording it always. It's just they're going to retain it if there's a complaint filed.
Okay, fair enough. And so whether or not they find a problem, they will delete the audio after they review. So what do you guys think about that? I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going to think I don't like them being nosy like that. But at the same time, you know, you go into any business, you can have the expectation that you're being recorded on a security camera, right?
Or just any service that you're using nowadays. And even the ones that say they aren't capturing your data, they're capturing your data because they want to learn, you know. They could sell that information too. They can anonymize it and sell, like, you know, do searches like, what are our Valorant players talking about? You know,
yeah.
How many times did they mention G Fuel? You know, like important data.
So yeah, and I think they could already be, you know, using that data for things you don't want them to use it for. So for them to use it to effectively moderate things, I think I don't see the issue. I don't. I kind of like it because I feel like it's going to give some oomph to some of the things that get reported. Not that I play Valorant, but yet or at this time, you never know. Sometimes I find games years later. Hello, Dead by Daylight.
Well, it could also help with like false reporting, because you may have folks that are just reporting something to get back at somebody,
right?
You know, this way they can validate that.
Act Defton chat says, I'm not totally okay with it, but I'm not against it either. And it's probably more focused to voice pattern recognition. Yeah, I mean, I understand like where it's like, this is a little weird. It does seem a little, but you know, at the same time, if you think about it, you're recorded in any business you go into in the world at the same time. And it's for very similar reasons that if you decide to start a fight, you're on camera and they'll be able to show that you did it, right? So I think that's where my brain kind of goes with it and why I'm like, I'm, you know, and again, I'm like, if they wanted to record us now, they already could be doing that. And, you know, I've talked about this and, you know, I know people try to say you're just making it up. You're imagining it. And maybe I am. But it is awfully weird that I might talk about something and then suddenly it shows up as a Facebook ad later. It's just weird. It's wild.
All the time.
You know, and people say, well, it's because you searched for it. You know, you didn't realize you were searching for it or you tweeted about it and it picked up on the tweet. There's just some it's that whole thing where it's like I can't prove it's anything, but it's something. It's what it is. DJ Rama S in chat says, when I worked at NBC Universal, all calls were recorded. We had someone call the help desk screaming and yelling at one of us. They pulled the recording, checked it, and she was reported to her manager. You're right. Anytime you use equipment that belongs at a business or a place you work, they can record. If you use your work computer to look at porn, they'll know because they're watching. So don't visit Pornhub on your computer. And now that I said Pornhub, enjoy the ad you're going to see later on today.
They never advertise that.
You're right.
You can't force that. They don't. It's always dumb things.
They don't have to. Let's be real. Act Defton chat says, whispers tacos to Rob's phone. I would be fine if I got nothing but tacos advertised to me on Facebook. I wish it's the stuff that they show on Wish where you're like, what the fuck did I say to get that to show up in my ads?
Or just like weird stuff. Like the worst thing is like when I bought something, like I went to a site and I bought the thing and then they're advertising me the same thing. It's like, I already bought that. Why are you're wasting your time? Like, I'm not going to buy another LG fridge or something like that. It's like, I've already owned one.
The fun Wish one for me is getting drag accessories like breastplates and butts and hip pads. I'm like, I don't need any of that. I have that already. I came with it attached.
Bobby in chat, you know, trying to be the voice of realism, saying if they were recording your voice and sending it up, either your phone battery would drain quickly or your data caps would be hit quickly. And also people would inspect the network packets and find the voice files being sent up to the servers. What if it's all happening on your phone? Your phone can dictate, like if you open up the notes app and say, hey, dictate this message, la da da da, it'll know, put it in text. So maybe it's not sending the voices. It's just something.
Yeah, their voice to text stuff is pretty advanced now. I doubt that they would be sending the actual, recordings.
Yeah, something that's why I don't have the Facebook app on my phone anymore. I don't need it. Also, I don't need it. Why do I need the Facebook app? I don't. I can just go to Facebook.com on the web, and even then, like I shouldn't need to live on Facebook that much, you know. Anyway. All right, moving on. Dark Sakura, instead of our crazy conspiracy theories, let's talk about some very real deals, right?
Yes. Well, we know that May the 4th is coming up, and we know that it sounds like May the 4th, so it's basically Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. So at any rate, of course Lucasfilm / Disney takes advantage of this. So, of course, you know, we heard that Jedi Fallen Order is getting an upgrade soon. You can get up to 70% off the standard and deluxe editions of the current versions of the game, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Origin, and Steam. And this is going from May 28th to May 12th. And then also started on April 30th, going through May 11th, you can also get up to 50% off the EA Star Wars Triple Bundle, which is Star Wars Squadrons Jedi Fallen Order Deluxe Edition and Star Wars Battlefront 2 Celebration Edition. There's also other ones listed in Steam. A few of them were on Mac, and I was tempted, but I resisted.
Resistance is futile. Oh, wait, that's Star Trek.
Star Trek.
When's Star Trek Day? Oh, wait, actually, that's a redundant. We just had it. It was that they did the first, they do it on First Contact Day. I don't know if there was gaming sales, but they did all the Star Trek news that day. So I guess
that,
I answered my own question.
The only resist we get is the resistance.
That's true.
The Rebel Alliance.
All right. Well, it's cute that they made an unofficial holiday of sorts out of May the 4th. So I think it's cute.
Well, and don't forget Revenge of the 5th.
That's right. And it's
the only
good
thing to come out of those damn prequels.
It's the one day I can post like my favorite meme, which is like it's a picture of the Dalek and you post it with the text. It says, "Oh, my God, it's R2-D2. I loved him in Star Trek." Like that's like the one day you can post that meme. All right.
Oh, Rob.
Oh, me. Moving
oh,
on.
Oh, you.
Loki.
Yeah, I'm hoping for like at least some season two of The Mandalorian. Or not season two, season three Mandalorian stuff.
Maybe you'll get a sneak peek.
I'm hoping. That's my hope. So anyways, we've got some... It's the end of an era. I mean, it kind of been ending for a while, but now it's officially dead. So after... The last official games magazine is having its final issue. So the official PlayStation Magazine UK was the last official game company magazine, and they have their final issue going out so very soon. So that's unfortunate. OPM actually started, was it back in 1995? So it's been a while, but...
Honestly, and this is going to sound horrible, but I thought all the magazines were gone already anyway. Well, but to be fair, this is in the UK, you know, so it's not something I exactly would see.
You have it over here. Like, I used to see this all the time at Barnes & Noble back when that was a thing. Or no, actually, no, it's still a thing. I'm sorry. I'm thinking Borders. But yeah, I'd always pick up like the UK ones. I always like them better.
Yeah. So, but it's still sad, obviously, you know.
I miss Retro Gamer.
Yeah, it's just a lot of the magazines just are going online, and it's just a reality of the whole print media, which is sad. You know, I wonder if there will be some type of renaissance, though, just like we're seeing, you know, like limited run games, you know, that we'll see some type of renaissance for magazines and books. I guess we do. I feel like every other week I'm getting some type of thing on my OLR email for some type of Kickstarter that's for a book. You know, or something that's a compilation of, you know, stuff for some video game or something. So I guess there's always a renaissance in that regard. So, all right. Yeah. Well, last but not least on our official list of stories for tonight, we have a story about shoes. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Shoes.
Shoes. These shoes are $300. Actually, I don't
Let's
know if they're.
Get them.
They're not $300. They're $110.
That's still too expensive.
They are official PlayStation 5 shoes. They are Nike's PlayStation 5 theme shoes. It's the PG5 Cross PS5. There's a PlayStation 5 set from Paul George, who in 2018 kind of talked up PlayStation fandom while talking about a shoe that had lights and sounds linked to Sony's console. So some Instagram pictures popped up that this PG5 Cross PS5, and they actually say those on the little back kind of like hook things for like if you hang shoes up or whatever. They show them on the little back hooks there. They are on Instagram, where they will go on sale later this month for $110. There have been other PlayStation Nike collaborations that were very limited. So, you know, you want to talk about scalpers, the shoe market's full of them too. So look out. But good luck if you decide you want to get some of these PlayStation 5 shoes. They are cute. I mean, they're blue, a very nice color, and the little Nike swoosh, of course, and all that good stuff. I wish they would light up too, but I guess that would make them cost $300 for real then. So.
They will on the secondhand market, so it's fine.
Yeah. SSG100 Matt is chiming in saying Adidas is coming out with Lego shoes. I didn't know that. That's cool. Do you actually
have to? What happens when you step on.
What happens when you stick on a Lego? You pick it up and you keep it when your shoes get bigger. That's how you make heels. All right. Do you have to put the shoes together? Do they snap together?
It'll be like, was it Lord Business in the Lego movie?
All right, let's get to the part of the show where you guys can drive a little bit. It is our listener roundtable. If you guys have any comments in our chat, please put them in there, and we'll get to some questions and stuff. I believe we do have an email, at least one tonight, over at participate@orangeloungetrader.com is the place you can send your emails, and Dark Soccer will step into the gaming not the gaming vault, but the, well, maybe the mailbag is in the gaming vault. I don't know where it's kept. But she's going to look at the mailbag.
It's a really tiny bag.
Okay. It's a very tiny bag tonight. Pull out the emails again.
It's one of those micro purses, except it's not an Hermes. It's when someone got on Wish.
Again, that email address, participate@orangelaunchradio.com. Darsakra, take it away.
Our one email comes from Robert M. Is there any reason Midway, or more accurately, Warner, isn't releasing arcade collections for modern consoles or PC? You know what my answer is? I'm not fucking Midway. I don't know.
Was that it? The email?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Well, of course you're not Midway. You don't know. But I bet if he sent this email to Midway, well, Midway's not around, but you know what I mean. But if he sent this email to Warner, who now has all the Midway licenses, I bet they wouldn't even reply. So yeah. I think he has to come to us that keep tabs on the gaming industry to try to figure out, like, why isn't this happening? Why is Warner not, you know,
because it's not profitable. End of story.
They
wait. They're going to wait right to the end and release something at the right moment financially for them to release it. There you go.
I think something still could happen. You know, you got to look at the track records. Like, there have been...
I can tell you what they're doing with it. Well, at least with some of them.
Okay.
They're releasing them as arcade one-up cabinets.
There is that.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Although I wish they would hurry up with releasing San Francisco Rush as a arcade cabinet. But, yeah, I mean, I know, like, Rampage and... I'm trying to think what other stuff they had. I know Rampage just sticks out as one of the ones that they had there.
And you know what? It's not just those. It's the mini arcades, too.
Yeah,
like this one
those,
I have
yeah.
here. This is a Ms. Pac-Man, which actually Ms. Pac-Man is a mid. Wasn't Ms. Pac-Man a Midway thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So technically, this is another way that they're using Midway right now is these mini cabinets. So they are licensing out the properties. And that's Loki. I wouldn't have thought of that, even though that's so obvious. So kudos to you. You're right. So those arcade one-up cabinets and then other types of collectibles. And I want to say I've also seen like Joust, like, you know, when they have those bundles, it's like pins, stickers, things like that. Like they sell it
yeah,
for
like
certain.
Loot box things.
Loot box things. I've seen that for Midway stuff as well. So I kind of think that's where they're putting their Loki's right on with this. That's where they're putting their properties right now. But I know the emailer wants to know, where's my PlayStation 4, my PlayStation 5 Midway Arcade Classics collection? I think that's what
they haven't done one of those in like years.
They haven't.
Why not play it on a system that you actually have it for?
Well, there is that. But there's also, don't forget, the last thing I remember them doing was the Lego thing. They had a pack in the Lego Dimensions. They had a Midway pack.
They did.
And you could actually play some of the classic arcade games in that pack. You remember that? That's the last thing I remember them doing. Yeah.
But that's no longer available either. So,
well, no, unless you might get lucky at a discount warehouse type, like a 99-cent store or something. But I think even a lot of those are long gone at this point. So, yeah. Looking at chat for some comments here. Dark Destiny in chat says, I mean, I'd love to see a new collection. I think his best bet are the arcade one-ups that have the Midway stuff on it. Excuse me. Pog Culture says, still wanting a Spy Hunter cabinet. Dark Destiny says, the last collection for that I saw was on PlayStation 3 360. I don't think they did them on 360. I think you're thinking original Xbox and PS2. Because I'm almost positive I've got one of those collections just off camera over here, and it's an original Xbox.
If they did
title.
Any of those on Xbox 360, it would have been Xbox Live Arcade. I don't think they actually had a collection.
Exactly. They were, and that's what I was going to get to. They were piecemealed. One of the very first Xbox Arcade releases was Joust. Remember that? And then there was Robotron 2084, and a lot of those classic Midway titles followed there. So that's what you got on 360. And I think some of those came to PlayStation 3, and that's probably what Dark Tetsuya is remembering, are those piecemeal, like, onesie-twosie games that you could buy there. But, yeah, they had some really bang-up collections. There was the Midway Arcade Collections 1, 2, and they did do a 3. 3 was harder to find, and it was all racing games, if I remember right. Was that Hydro Thunder and that stuff,
it
I think,
had
was on
Hydro
there?
Yeah, it did. Because I had it. I actually had a PC version of it. I got it free. So they had like Hydro Thunder, there was San Francisco Rush, I don't think they had Off-Road Thunder, which is too bad because that game is awesome. God, I can't remember what else. I don't know if Rush 2049 was in that. It may have been.
Okay. I stand corrected. There was a collection on 360 and PS3. It was called Midway Arcade Origins. I guess crossed my desk. Okay, fair enough. Y'all got me. That's why we have a live chat. Y'all got me. S200 Matt says, we're beating around the bush here. Just bring back Game Room. Solves all the problems.
I wish. That would be amazing.
I don't know. I think maybe the tide's passed for that sort of thing, though.
It's never passed.
Because now I want an arcade one-up that has that type of thing built into it, so I don't have to buy, like, 7 cabinets, you know?
They have... No, I thought that there was, like, another company doing something similar that where you could purchase games, but maybe not.
Okay, ActDeft points out the collection is compatible on Xbox One. That's interesting. That means it plays on Xbox One S as well, and X. So that's it. Maybe I'll have to check that out. So there, I guess there's your very long-winded answer to your question. You got to have backwards compatibility and go all the way back to Midway Arcade Origins. But will they do a new collection? I don't know. It's hard to say. I think right now it's more about they're making a lot of money in the retro cabinet space, whether it be large cabinet or tiny cabinet, and I think that's where they're going to stay for a little while. So, all right. Let's get into any other last-minute stories. I don't know if Loki has anything else. And, of course, if you guys have any comments, put them in our chat room. Also, one more shout-out for the mailbag. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com.
I do have one thing. So Epic Games has purchased ArtStation. So it's a website I think digital artists can use to share their artwork that they have. And now they have apparently there's like a commercial element to that. I think they're going to be tying that with Unreal Engine to, you know, provide art assets or something like that. But interesting to see, you know, that be purchased by Epic Games.
All right. So somebody said something in chat. I got to go back to the Midway thing because this is huge. I totally forgot about this. Okay. S200 Matt in chat says, speaking of which, what's going on with the Ant stream? Is it still going on and strong? And the answer is, yeah, it's still going. And by the way, do you know what game they just added to Ant stream about 2 weeks ago? Joust.
Huh.
So my dumbass forgot that. That is another place where the Midway games appear to be going. Because Mortal Kombat got added to the service like a while ago. So a few of those are showing up on AntStream. But it is weird because AntStream, if I remember right, and chat, correct me if I'm wrong, I Kickstarter-backed AntStream, so I'm able to use it. They still don't have an Xbox One X client, though, which is sad. I can only do it on PC. That is weird to me. I don't know why they don't have a One X client when they have an Xbox One client. I thought everything should automatically run, but for whatever reason,
yeah, that
doesn't.
Seems weird.
It is very weird to me. AntStream, I don't think is still available in the US. I think it is still only a UK thing, unless you were a Kickstarter backer like me. I could be wrong. And that's why I need chat to help me out, because my perspective, I don't know, because since I was a Kickstarter backer and my 2 years finally runs out like next month, I think, and I probably will re-up for another year. So we'll see. Bobby Blackwolf says my account's disabled now. The Kickstarter is only for 2 years. Mine was also for 2 years and I'm still active. So I think it dies in June, if I remember right. They added Star Wars and the Empire Strikes Back on May the 4th, or it's coming. They added Root Beer Tapper and Xenophobe. Root Beer Tapper is another Midway game. I'm looking at their Discord. I have their Discord on my phone. There's Joust that they added not long ago. What else did they add? Marble Madness, Space War. So they're still going along there. Elevator Action Returns. Oh, that was always there. That's a tournament they're talking about. Rampage. Rampage they added not that long ago. So there's another answer. So AntStream is picking up some of those Midway classics. Interesting.
There you go.
All right. I don't see any other comments in chat. Bobby says the 2 years ran out a while ago. I swear I just played not that long ago and I was still able to get in there. I thought it was a June thing. Yeah, S200 Matt says it's still not in the US yet. I don't get that. It's weird that they haven't launched here. I don't know what's up with that. All right. You had to get in on the Kickstarter or else. Maybe I won't even be able to renew. Yeah. All right.
Oh. So real quick, I was going to say that Castlevania Resurrection that was supposed to be for the Dreamcast has been dumped and it's available online now as part of the Sega Dreamcast Info Games Preservation site. So you can check out that unreleased game.
I watched someone playing through it. It was pretty amusing just that, like, there's complete lack of, like, falling animation in some places, and you can just walk around and...
Right, really early, yeah.
And, like, terrible collision otherwise. It was pretty funny. And then that same track playing over and over. It was a demo version.
Right. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we're getting here towards the end of the show, so it was a little bit of a shorter show tonight, but it's a little bit, I think because of the holiday week in Japan, we probably just don't have as much news that's been coming out. And plus, E3 is, you know, on the horizon, and even though you have all these companies that aren't doing E3, I still think June is going to be the month when we really start to see a lot of news. So that's going to happen sometimes. But I still want to thank you guys for tuning in and joining us this week, whether you were listening on the podcast feed or you were here live with us on Twitch. Thank you so much for being here and supporting Orange Lounge Radio and listening to the whole program. Really appreciate you guys. If you enjoyed what you heard here on the show, tell a friend or two. Help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice. We need more voices here at the table with us. Tell a friend. A tweet goes a long way. Auto hosts of VOG Network on Twitch goes a really long way, let me tell you. Thanks again for your guys' support. I saw a hype train going on earlier during the show. You guys don't have to do that, but you do. Thank you, thank you. We're going to work on creating content. I will tell you what, just before the show, myself, Dark Soccer, and Loki were talking about another project we might take on very soon. Nothing that's going to be taken away from OLR. It's going to be something extra. So we'll talk a little bit about that very soon, I think. We're going to start that. So more to come on that soon. And this is directly a thank you for those of you that have really gone the extra mile with your participation. We want to create more for you guys. So and there's a few things we have to get off our chest.
A few things.
There's always some more things to talk about. So. Also, you don't have to support us financially, but if you feel so inclined, we also have a store, vognetwork.com/shop. Somebody just linked that in chat as well, and we appreciate that. So, all right. Bobby says he's limited to one game in a 24-hour period, so his account must have reverted. Shit, I guess maybe mine did too. I don't know. I'll have to look. I don't know. I thought it was extended to June because there was like a beta, but I don't know, whatever. I'll take his word for it. I mean, if he's limited, he's limited. So that probably happened to me too, because I don't think I did any more than 2 years. All right. Anyway, let's go around and get everybody's final thought and wrap up for tonight. So I will start with Loki. Your final thought tonight.
Final thought is I'm going to hopefully start working on episode 2 of my Let's Play series soon. So Look for that.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. So while Dark Soccer and I have been doing more on Twitch, you've been doing more on YouTube, and I think that's great. Get infect OLR everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. My final thought is, hey, killers in Dead by Daylight, stop winning by slugging everybody. And try winning without no Ed. All right.
Well, I don't know. I have no Ed on Bubba, so I use it.
It's such a nasty thing to go up against, but I get it. I've used it too.
Yeah.
All right. But the slugging, stop it. All right. Dark Soccer, last but not least, your final thought.
Well, make sure that you stay in because I'm going to be going live after the show. I'm going to be playing Fantasian because why not? And also, I have my own YouTube channel that I've just got a couple of things uploaded on. It's just as Jamie Summers-Dark Sakura. I will link it in chat if people are interested in it. I am going to go ahead and hop off early. I will not be here post credits as I am prepping to entertain you all with Fantasian.
All right. And those that are on the podcast feed, this is going to be on your personal channel. So if they do want to see this after the fact, they can go to your personal channel because you don't have your videos locked to subs. So you can watch that after the fact. Right.
Right. My personal channel is DarkSakura_OLR.
Cool. All right. There we go. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We will see you next week and talk about whatever news comes up in the next week. Have fun gaming. Don't be toxic. Be nice to each other online. And we will see you next time here at Orange Lounge Radio. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.